It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during a recent Bible study luncheon held on the university campus. Our speaker is Dr. Roy Barton, Chief Financial Officer at BJU. The title of his message is The Case of the Ignorant Professor. The text is from John 3, verses 1 through 10.
Our speaker is Dr. Roy Barton. He is the Chief Financial Officer here at Bob Jones University. Before he came here, he was successful in the banking industry, and the Lord has called him here to be a manager of the finances for this organization. And we were talking about this from another meeting we just had, and talking about all that the Lord has done on this campus just in the last 10 years. And that's the tip of the iceberg. But he has responsibility for the oversight of that. But one of the things that I've really noticed about him is that not only does he take good care of the finances, which is very important, but I can sense through different avenues his heart for the students and really wanting their finances, wanting to help them to finish up in school, and a lot of other areas where he is personally involved in our students' lives. And I'm thankful that he's been willing. He doesn't like me to ask him to speak at these luncheons, but I've got him on the hook now. So I am thankful that he's been willing to come, and I'm looking forward to what he has to say for us today. Dr. Barton.
For those of you who were here at the last luncheon, I noticed a ripple of chuckles when my topic was announced, the case of the ignorant professor. And it was not Professor Gary Reimers who was speaking that I was referring to. And I didn't realize that those two were going to go back to back. But it wasn't that professor or any other professor from at least Bob Jones University I was referring to. As Dr. Taylor, who was substituting that day, asked the question that I had posed, why is it that so many of the world's intelligent are so ignorant about eternal matters? And it is so in the field of professional people that I run into, doctors and lawyers and bankers and politicians and, yes, even some professors who are tops in their fields, excelling in their professions, and yet woefully ignorant or at least woefully negligent about spiritual issues. And the Lord also found that true in his ministry. And I want to turn just to John chapter 3 and read a few verses. And this is what it says in John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You know, to me it is amazing how ignorance and learning can rub elbows with each other within the same individual. The fact that a person is an authority in one field does not make him authority in another. And I may know something about money and banking and finance, but put me in the field of engineering and I'm a blithering idiot. I know nothing about it, absolutely. And here is a man in our scripture, the one who asked the question, who's the equivalent of a college professor or a Supreme Court judge, a man of position and learning, and yet he's strangely ignorant about the fact that a man's life can be made over. He knew nothing of the new birth. And so Jesus asked him the question with astonishment in his voice, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And of course, the man of whom Jesus was asking this question was Nicodemus. He is the ignorant professor, and he represented the best of the human race of that day. As a man of position, a man of prominence, he was of the educated group that gave the world such scholars as Gamaliel and, of course, the Apostle Paul. He's a member of the court of the Sanhedrin, an honored man, a religious leader, and all in all, I'd say he probably was quite a personality, interesting to meet and to study. And so I want to look at him a few moments today. Number one, I think he was a man with an open mind. In spite of the fact he had already arrived as far as position was concerned, he still was intellectually curious. And it was this curiousness in him that I believe caused him to visit Jesus. Christ was coming into prominence at that time. He had recently cleansed the temple. Strong rumors were drifting about town concerning him. Some claimed he had supernatural powers. Some said he'd raised somebody from the dead. Some said he had cast out demons. Some said he had cleansed lepers. And some were even hinting that he might be the Messiah that was promised by the writing of the prophets. And so the rumors excited the curiosity of Nicodemus. And because he was curious, he was eager for an interview with this one called Jesus of Nazareth. I've heard curiosity condemned. I teed my wife about it quite a bit. But there's also a wrong kind of curiosity. I've run into people who started drinking because of curiosity. I've heard tell of people entering into immoral life just because of curiosity. That's the wrong kind. Some say it even killed a cat. I apologize for that, but some say it killed a cat. There's a rhyme that goes, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are." And it was because of the curiosity of man that he invented the telescope and looked at the stars and mapped the heavens. I don't know who invented it, but I know the name of that instrument was curiosity. And it was the microscope, of course, that gets our scientists and our doctors investigating various medical situations. History tells us Columbus discovered America and he traveled over in a little ship, and I think his name was Curiosity, though the history books say something else. And blessed is the man that has the curiosity and who is curious to know Jesus Christ. Not only was he curious to visit Jesus, but I believe he was intellectually honest. Nicodemus had heard the prophet was making tremendous claims, or at least people were making tremendous claims about him. And if those claims were true, being a religious leader, he had a responsibility to know and to act accordingly. And if they weren't true, then accordingly he ought to know. And if this man was an imposter, he ought to reveal that truth. And so therefore, this curious, honest man turned his feet to the house where Jesus was that night and had the interview. I think he was also humble, not just curious, not just intellectually honest, but humble. I think he was willing to learn from anybody that was able to teach him. It's a great characteristic. And whether it's in the regard to Christianity or a secular subject, I think we have to be willing to learn from anybody. And if you can learn to observe and to absorb from all the people and the situations into which you run in your life, whether the people are great or small, and whether the circumstances are, well, beneficial or detrimental, whichever way it is, if we can learn from these situations, I think we have one of the elements of greatness ourselves. You know, these two people in this interview are grossly different in their positions. Socially, as far as social position is concerned, Jesus and Nicodemus were a very long way apart. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, was an aristocrat. He had learned from responsibility and positions of leadership how to live in life and how to govern and how to be the man that he was. And yet Jesus was simply a man of the people, without reputation, without knowledge. And yet this distinguished ruler of the Jews was not too proud to seek out the young carpenter, the young rabbi, and to sit at his feet. So I think he was a humble man. Then another thing I think about this man, though he was earnestly religious, yet he was dissatisfied with himself. And as with so many people in our churches today, he realized that his religion had not met his deepest needs. And with all the getting of position and with all the getting of wealth and knowledge, he had not found what he's looking for. And with all that he had achieved, his heart was still restless and hungry, and I think it was this gnawing hunger and this burning thirst that sent him to meet this rabbi from Nazareth. And then finally, concerning the ruler of the Jews, note that he was possessed with a particular type of courage. A particular type of courage. Now, the commentaries will vary on the belief about this as far as Nicodemus is concerned. Some say he was fearless, and there are others who say he had no courage at all, and they call the attention to the fact that he came to see Jesus Christ by night. And I'm sure that it's significant he came by night, as all the gospel writers on this incident mention that. They specify the time of the day. It was night. Well, why did he come at night? Some people say that he was courageous and so interested that he couldn't wait till the coming of the next day. He simply could not wait. And others claim it was the best time for him to come because he could have a long, uninterrupted conversation with them. He would have time to spend with them. But as we look at all of the recorded scripture regarding Nicodemus, I believe timidity was at least a part of why he came at night. I believe this is pointed out by the very next reference that we have in scripture concerning Nicodemus, because further over in the book of John, after that portion I just read, when he's mentioned again, the Pharisees at this point have become totally antagonistic to Jesus. They're out to destroy him, and they sent out their policemen, so to speak, to arrest Christ. And when the men returned without Christ, the Pharisees asked the question, why did you not bring him? And they answered, well, never men spake like this man. And the Pharisees were furious, they were indignant, and they're sarcastic in the answers. And they said, have any of the authorities or the Pharisees ever believed on him? And then it was in Scripture that we see Nicodemus appearing again. And he spoke out in Christ's defense. He said, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and hearing what he does? Now, that's maybe not a bold answer, not as much as the Apostle Paul would have given, maybe not as much as he would have liked to have given. He could have said, not all Pharisees reject him. I've seen him personally. I've heard his claims. I believe in him. But instead of making a bold declaration, he only asked the question, and that, I believe, indicates that he was timid. And yet the fact that Nicodemus did come to Christ, and the further fact that he did speak out, though quietly in his defense, indicates he had some courage. Because courage does not mean a lack of fear or a freedom from fear. You can be courageous with your knees knocking and your hands trembling and your mouth stuttering, and I think this was the kind of courage probably Nicodemus had in this instance. He may have come timidly to Christ. He may have spoken timidly in his defense. But that doesn't detract from the truth and the fact that he did come and he did speak out. And the really courageous individual is the one who follows the path of duty, no matter what the circumstances are and no matter if their knees are shaking with terror. Well, let's take a little look at this interview. Nicodemus began the conversation. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And the answer that Jesus gives seems to be totally irrelevant. But Jesus is speaking, answering the longing of Nicodemus' heart rather than the words that the questions asked. And thus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's saying, in effect, to Nicodemus, you aren't satisfied. You haven't found what you've looked for in spite of your life of service to the church. And you never will find it, Nicodemus, until you're born again. That, in essence, was what Christ was telling Nicodemus. Didn't answer his question. He answered the longing of his heart. No mincing of words. Christ didn't mention church membership. He didn't beat around the bush. He just said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus asked in amazement, how can these things be? And Jesus, amazed at his amazement, answered with another question, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now today we know that the possibility, yes, the necessity of the new birth is one of the basic truths of our Christian beliefs. We have the record of scriptures to confirm it for us. The new birth is a necessity if we are to see, an individual is to see the kingdom of God. And a new birth is just as necessary to enter the kingdom of God as a physical birth is to enter into the world. And thus, no amount of culture and no amount of decency and no amount of morality and no amount of devotion, nothing can take the place of the new birth. It's our privilege. It's more than that. It's our absolute necessity. And some of us may come to it having heard the gospel the first time, and others may take weeks or months or years as they hear and observe and as it grows on them. But the truth is, we all must enter that. It doesn't matter the how, it doesn't matter the when of the new birth. What matters is the fact of the new birth. That's what is necessary for each of us. But what did this interview do for Nicodemus? Did he go away from this young carpenter singing in his heart like Paul wrote, "Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new"? No, I don't think so. Was he conscious of a change within him so great that it could be called a passing of death unto life? I don't think so at this time. And yet, while he had no radical change in his life, he was deeply moved, and I think the words of Christ thrilled him. It gave him new hope. And as Christ spoke, he felt in his soul that he had found the truth in this humble carpenter. And now when he hears, therefore, that the court that Christ is being sought by and of which he's a member, he cannot help but speak out in his defense. Doesn't speak as boldly as he would have liked to, or as we would have liked him to speak. But the timid defense he did make for Christ probably cost him more than a much bolder speech would have cost a man with great natural courage. He didn't have that natural courage. Then the following event in Scripture where Nicodemus is mentioned was tragic to me and heartbreaking. And some of us may experience some of these things in our lives. You see, Jesus was put to death in a ruthless and disgraceful fashion. And at this point, Nicodemus realized he could never tell Jesus of his decision to follow him. We have no record that he ever told Christ that he was going to follow him. He couldn't point out his loyalty and his friendship and how he had that hidden in his heart for several months after this interview. And at the death of Christ, he feels he has to do something. And although he can't do anything, say, perhaps in the way of honor that Mary did when she anointed Christ with a sweet-smelling ointment, he did now make an open confession after the fact of Christ's death of his loyalty to Christ. And this he did by assisting at Christ's funeral. He brought, I think you remember the record, a whole hundredweight of myrrh and aloes, and far too much, more than he needed, but that was his way of trying to express his unspoken love and thus atone for his past timidity towards Christ. Nicodemus lost much by not coming to Christ sooner, as we do when we don't give ourselves wholly over to Jesus Christ. And yet in Nicodemus's case, the truth is he did come. And thus, by coming, he entered into that experience of the new birth that Jesus spoke of that night when they listened to the sighing of the night wind. And so my question to you today is that your experience personally? Is it? What Jesus asked of Nicodemus centuries ago, he's asking us today. And we must have the birth of the Spirit as well as surely as we have experienced physical birth. The question, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? I've done something today. I've put at each of your places a booklet. It's called The Ultimate Questions. And I've met a lot of ignorant professor types. I mean spiritually ignorant, not humanly, intellectually ignorant. I'm talking about spiritually ignorant professors. And I must admit, I've been a bit timid, as was Nicodemus, in approaching these type of people. They're my superiors intellectually and in position, and yet they need to be dealt with. And I have found personally this booklet to be a great way to approach them, and as a result, to open the door to talk to them about their relationship to Jesus Christ. So I'm suggesting to you that you take one with you. You read it, you consider it, pass it on to one of your unsaved friends, and ask God to help you reach an ignorant professor, spiritually ignorant, or spiritually negligent. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, today we're thankful for what you have done through Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the gospel is open and available to each of us. Help us that know Jesus Christ to be diligent in our effort to pass on this good news to others. We're so thankful of the many that have come to Christ in these past 4 days. Help us, Father, to keep that burning desire in our own hearts and keep that evangelistic zeal in our own hearts that we may bring others to know you as Nicodemus finally came to know you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Roy Barton, Chief Financial Officer at BJU. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.